Welcome back, friend. I'm so glad you're here today, because we're talking about something that affects every single meal you eat, every day of your life. And here's the beautiful part. You have so much more power over your health than you might realize. Today, I want you to walk away feeling confident about two things. First, understanding a major shift in nutrition policy that just happened, one that actually makes eating simpler, not more complicated. And second, having a clear framework for navigating all those shiny health technologies and biohacks you keep hearing about. Because whether we're talking about the basics or the cutting edge, you deserve to make informed choices that align with your values. Let's start with the big news. For the first time in history, US dietary guidelines have made protein the priority macronutrient, especially if you care about healthy aging. Now, I know what you might be thinking, another dietary trend, another confusing change. But stay with me, because this is different. These aren't just recommendations from some wellness influencer. These guidelines determine what's served in schools where your kids eat lunch, in hospitals where your parents recover, in military facilities, and through nutrition programs that feed millions of Americans. This is policy built on decades of research, and it's going to reshape how we think about nourishing our bodies. Here's the reality check, and I say this with compassion, not judgment. You're probably not eating enough protein. The average American gets only about 1.1 grams per kilogram of body weight daily. That means half of us are falling short of what our bodies actually need. The new guidelines recommend 1.2 to 1.6 grams per kilogram. That's a meaningful increase, and it recognizes something critical. Protein isn't just about building muscle. It's about glucose metabolism, maintaining your strength as you age, and supporting longevity. Let me make this practical. If you weigh 150 pounds, that's about 68 kilograms, you need somewhere between 82 and 109 grams of protein every day. If you eat three meals, that's roughly 28 to 36 grams per meal. Picture a piece of chicken breast about the size of your palm, or a generous serving of fish, or a couple of eggs with Greek yogurt. That's your target at each meal. Building on that, let's address some myths that might be holding you back, because I want you to eat without fear. Myth number one, red meat is dangerous. Comprehensive research by scientist Bradley Johnston found no increased cancer risk from eating red meat. Those scary headlines you've seen? They don't hold up under scrutiny. Now, quality matters. There's a real difference between grass-fed, minimally processed meat and processed deli meats loaded with additives. But you don't need to be afraid of a good steak. Myth number two, saturated fat is the enemy. Since the 1980s, Americans have reduced saturated fat from 15% of our calories down to 11%, and yet chronic disease rates have climbed. The real culprit isn't saturated fat itself, it's our overall dietary patterns. Too many processed foods, too many refined carbohydrates, and not enough protein. And here's something important about plant-based eating. Animal proteins contain complete amino acid profiles that match what your muscles need, making them more efficient for your body to use. Plant-based proteins absolutely can work, but they require more careful planning to ensure you're getting all the essential amino acids your body can't make on its own. These insights come from Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, who spent over 20 years studying protein metabolism under researcher Don Lehman, whose work directly shaped these new guidelines. This isn't a fad. This is evidence-based policy finally catching up with the science. So how do you actually implement this? I'm going to give you the simplest framework possible. Think of your plate in thirds. One third protein, that palm-sized portion we talked about, 4 to 6 ounces of fish, chicken, beef, eggs, or Greek yogurt. This gets you to that 25 to 35 gram target per meal. One third nutrient-dense vegetables. Think colorful and fiber-rich. Leafy greens, broccoli, cauliflower, bell peppers. These provide the micronutrients and fiber that support your gut health and overall vitality. One third smart carbohydrates. If you're physically active, include whole grains, sweet potatoes, or legumes. If you're more sedentary right now, you can minimize this portion or swap it for more vegetables. Here's what makes this approach powerful. There's something called the 24-hour muscle building cycle. When you consistently provide protein, combine it with movement, and get proper sleep, you're not just feeding yourself meal to meal, you're programming your metabolism for health. Your body is constantly rebuilding itself, and you're giving it the materials it needs. Now, what about when whole foods fall short? Maybe you're traveling, maybe you're in a crazy busy season of life, maybe whole food protein just isn't convenient in that moment. Essential amino acid supplements can bridge those gaps. They're not replacements for real food, but they're strategic tools to help you stay consistent. Let's shift gears now and talk about something a bit more futuristic. While protein optimization represents evidence-based basics, the cutting edge of health raises bigger questions, stem cell therapy, plasma infusions, genetic testing, metabolic interventions, these are becoming mainstream. And you might be wondering, how do I decide what's right for me? You need a framework, not just blanket acceptance or rejection of everything new. Let me give you three filters to run any intervention through. Filter one, does it align with your core values? Advanced medicine isn't inherently good or bad, but your intention matters. Using stem cells to restore joint function so you can play with your grandchildren is ethically different from pursuing immortality through transhumanist modifications. Using peptides to optimize recovery is different from using experimental psychedelics for spiritual experiences. Ask yourself, what's my goal here? Does this intervention support flourishing within natural human limits, or am I chasing something fundamentally different from human wellness? Filter two, could it harm you? Protocols with limited research or unknown long-term consequences deserve serious skepticism. Excessive use of steroids, experimental compounds without human trials, treatments that trade short-term gains for long-term damage, these fail this test. Demand evidence. Ask about adverse effects. Conservative implementation, starting low, going slow, monitoring carefully, protects you from becoming an unwitting guinea pig in someone else's experiment. Filter three, does it harm others? Some therapies carry ethical baggage. Treatments derived from forced organ harvesting, unethical fetal tissue research, or exploitative practices deserve rejection, regardless of how effective they might be. You're not optimizing yourself in isolation. You're participating in systems. Ask where treatments come from and who benefits or suffers in the supply chain. These filters give you a way to think clearly about advanced interventions without either blind acceptance or fearful rejection. Now, whether we're talking about protein optimization or advanced biohacking, you need to be an informed partner in your healthcare. Let me give you some questions to ask your healthcare provider. About protein. Based on my current weight, activity level, and health goals, what's my optimal daily protein target? Should I consider amino acid supplementation? How can I track whether I'm meeting my needs? Are there any conditions I have that would require modified protein intake? About advanced interventions. What evidence supports this treatment for my specific condition? What are the documented short-term and long-term risks? Where do the biological materials come from? What monitoring will we implement? Are there more conservative approaches we should try first? How does your recommendation account for my specific values and priorities? These questions position you as an empowered participant in your own care, not a passive recipient. Let's bring this home with some action steps for this week. First, calculate your protein target. Take your weight in pounds and multiply it by 0.55 to 0.73. That gives you grams per day. Or if you think in kilograms, multiply by 1.2 to 1.6. Write that number down. Second, track your current intake for just 3 days. Use a simple food diary or a free app like Chronometer. You just want to see where you're starting from. No judgment, just information. Third, redesign one meal using that plate model we talked about. 1/3 protein, 1/3 vegetables, 1/3 smart carbs if you're active. See how it feels, how satisfying it is, how your energy responds. Fourth, stock your kitchen with quality protein sources. Eggs, Greek yogurt, chicken, fish, lean beef. Make it easy for yourself to succeed. If you're considering any advanced interventions, here's your homework. Create your value statement. Write down what health means to you beyond just living longer or performing better. Research thoroughly, understanding mechanisms and not just marketing claims. Seek multiple opinions from specialists who understand both benefits and risks, and document baseline metrics before trying anything new, so you can actually track impact, not just hope for results. Here's what ties all of this together, friend. Whether we're talking about the basics of nutrition or the cutting edge of biohacking, the common thread is agency. You're not passively receiving care. You're actively managing your well-being with discernment, with wisdom, with respect for evidence and ethics. And here's your simple, cost-free wellness step for today. Eat one meal with your protein target in mind. Just one meal. Notice how you feel 2 hours later. Your energy, your hunger, your mental clarity. That's data. That's you learning what your body needs. You've got this. Take care of yourself.